State Republicans are again introducing a bill that would punish students who disrupt campus speeches and presentations. Under the measure, UW system students would face suspension for their second offense and expulsion for the third. One of the bill's authors, Representative Dave Murphy, told WKOW-TV in Madison that the plan still allows for protests and doesn't limit free speech.
There's just a myriad of things that you could do, but going in and actually disrupting that particular speaker would not be one of them.
That's what's going on in Wisconsin, but it's not an isolated issue. It's the latest example in a nationwide debate surrounding free speech, trigger warnings, safe spaces, and political correctness. Our next guest tackles those issues in his new book. Michael Roth is president of Wesleyan University. He's the author of the book Safe Enough Spaces, A Pragmatist's Approach to Inclusion, Free Speech, and Political Correctness on College Campuses. Michael, thanks a lot for joining us today.
Thank you for having me, Rob.
Well, before we get to the modern day, you start off your book, Michael, talking about how colleges and universities have also often been the subject of criticism and worry throughout their history.
Yeah, I think as long as there have been colleges and universities in the United States, there have been people who are older than students who complain about the behavior of students. Sometimes it's complaints about their social lives. Sometimes it's complaints about their ideas. Sometimes it's complaints about their politics. But I think we're in one of those epochs where middle-aged people look at college students and say, what the heck are they doing? I think we have to have some historical perspective to realize that we often have trouble understanding the politics and the ideas of young people, and we have to make an effort to see things the way they are seeing them, too.
That said, is there something different going on in our campuses these days? Are we at a unique point, even with that backdrop of complaints about what's going on campus?
I wouldn't say it's unique. I do think there are some distinctive features to it, and some of them are a product of some very positive developments. Colleges and universities today have a greater variety of people attending them than, 50, 60, 70 years ago. And as a result, there are more tensions on a college campus than there might have been around social class, around gender, around issues concerning race and ethnicity. And I think that those are natural byproducts of people working and studying and playing together in ways that they might not have before. Look, America is a vastly greater unequal society than it was 50 years ago. Inequality has grown so dramatically. But on college campuses, whether a big public school like the UW in Madison or a small school like Wesleyan in Connecticut, college campuses are full of people from different backgrounds, different races, and it's natural there's going to be some tension around what counts as inclusion, what counts as legitimate protest, and what counts as an authentic education.
One point that keeps coming up in your book is the idea that diversity, whether it's ethnic diversity, racial diversity, income diversity, intellectual diversity, that diversity in and of itself is seen often as a benefit. It is a benefit to the students and the community they study in. Can you make that case?
Sure. I mean, I think it's a case that's been made by scholars and by the Supreme Court for quite a while now. And we know that teams do better when there are people on the team from who have a variety of perspectives. Whether it's in a technology company or whether it's in a science lab or whether it's in a political discussion, your enemy is homogeneity. Your enemy is groupthink. And so what you really want to see on a college campus or in a classroom, I teach every semester, and what I really want to see is the ways in which students approach a problem or a work of art or a book with different perspectives. And I think that some of the fears that we see expressed around college campuses now is that people have the same view, that there's political correctness or there's groupthink. But I really believe that, in fact, our job as teachers is to tease out the variety of perspectives and see which ones are more powerful than others. I mean, I do think you discover that not everybody is right, there's a variety of views, but some of them may be better for the problem at hand or the cultural challenge at hand than others. And so of the virtue of diversity is that it gives you a better chance to find a better answer to deal with the problem at hand.
One of the big controversies there, whether you're talking about op-ed pages or court cases, is how to get that diversity through the admissions process, whether there are quotas, which are generally banned under law, whether there are preferences based on race or income status. What do you see as a solid way to tackle that question?
That's a great question. And I think one of the problems is that when there are more qualified people who want to be in the same spot, there's just going to be tension around who gets to be in those spots. And I advise high school students and others who I speak with that to expand their notion of what school they really want to go to, because there are hundreds of great schools in the United States. And what happens is that people kind of flock to one place. And so, Wesleyan, for example, we take about 15% of those students who apply, but probably 75% are qualified to do quite well at Wesleyan. So to say that we admit the first 1,000 people we admit are much better than the first 1,000 people we reject, I think it's really hard to make that case. So there's always going to be tension around access. A holistic admissions process that ensures that our prejudices don't get in the way of our selection, that we have a campus culture that is intellectually diverse and is diverse in terms of social class and religion and ethnicity and race, that I think gives you a better chance to achieve a powerful education that we want our students to have on any college campus. Quotas, I think, are ham-fisted. They get in the way of a subtle admissions process. But to say that we're just going to use like one test for everybody, I think that also usually results in people gaming the test, gaming the system, and not getting the kind of diversity and intellectual vitality you want from a class of students.
Talking to Michael Roth, president of Wesleyan University, author of the new book Safe Enough Spaces, A Pragmatist's Approach to Inclusion, Free Speech, and Political Correctness on College Campuses. Another issue that gets a lot of attention from media, and as we heard from state legislatures, including here in Wisconsin, Michael, is the idea that campuses are unfriendly to conservative perspectives, whether that's in the faculty that are hired or the treatment of speakers on campuses. That's an issue you tackle in your book.
It is, and I have this a position that gets people annoyed on both sides of this debate, I'm afraid. I have called for an affirmative action program for conservatives. I think we do need more conservative ideas, not dumb, provocative ideas that are paid for by outside sources to come and unsettle a campus, but deep conservative and religious ideas to be represented in the humanities and social sciences. I think that's really important, and we need to work harder at creating authentic intellectual diversity on campus. But the idea that you somehow have to have state legislators protecting conservative provocateurs on campus by having people pass legislation in state capitals to dictate punishments for student protests, that seems to me to be crazy. It seems really just political theater. I often give talks at Wesleyan where the students are protesting. They're there standing on the stage with signs. They make it hard for me to do my job. But that's the price you pay. Now, if they make it impossible for me to speak, they should be punished. But every campus has its rules for doing that, for disciplining students who prevent speakers from making their points of view heard. And that should be done by campuses, not by politicians.
You make the case in the book that at its best, the intellectual discourse at the university can come out of the interaction from people of different backgrounds, whether it's atheists trying to get an understanding of a religious viewpoint or vice versa, civilians with no military background maybe being taught by a veteran. How can we make sure that when we bring people together from those and other different backgrounds that we have a constructive interaction, not a, I guess, destructive interaction?
Wow, that's a great question, and you probably see it all the time on your radio show, right? I mean, you could have some guests who you're not going to have a good conversation. It's not going to be good for the audience. It's everybody who walks away thinking it wasn't helpful. And you have other times when you may not agree with the person on, or there's a couple of people who disagree, but the discussion of disagreement is productive. And as teachers, that's what we want in our class, and we don't want everybody to agree with us as teachers. We want the disagreements to be productive, and by productive I mean it leads the students to think about things that give more meaning to their lives or give them more skills to deal with the problems at hand.
We continue our conversation with Michael Roth, president of Wesleyan University. His new book is Safe Enough Spaces, A Pragmatist's Approach to Inclusion, Free Speech, and Political Correctness on College Campuses. You can join in at 800-642-1234. If you've experienced a campus lately as a student, parent of a student, a faculty member, staff member, what do you see there when it comes to free speech, political correctness, openness to different viewpoints, variety of backgrounds for people there? Call 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234, or post on the Ideas Network Facebook page. We'll bring on a caller now. Ken is with us in Slinger. Ken, hi.
Hello. Thanks for taking my call. I just called to disagree with the guest, and I guess the whole premise of they want open-mindedness on college campuses, because I have three kids that have gone to college, and all three of them have learned that they have to write in a liberal point of view, otherwise they will get bad grades.
Ken, thanks for the call. Michael, Ken and his children aren't alone. There's that concern that professors are in effect, indoctrinating kids from a liberal perspective.
Yeah, I really don't see that. When I look at the people who graduate from colleges and universities across the country, they don't seem to be joining subversive groups plotting for a liberal takeover of the country. I do see a lot of students blame their grades on their failure of the professor or the TA to understand their point of view. What I also see are students who can impress a faculty member or a teaching assistant by taking a point of view quite different from the other people in the class. Now, it has always been the case that students at any college or university can feel that they have to please the professor. And if that is happening, then that professor is doing a bad job. I mean, I'm not going to say that all the time teachers are eager to cultivate disagreement, but they should be. And when I visit college campuses and universities around the country, I meet faculty all the time who are looking for students who take different points of view. Now it may be that other students in the class don't want to hear different points of view. And the job of the teacher then is to prepare them to think critically and openly about different points of view. And I see that at many of the colleges and universities that I visit.
Thanks for that call, Ken. We'll go now to Bill with us in Columbus. Bill, thanks for the call.
Hi. This question is more to your speakers referencing diversity in the student body. You know, they want a diversity in support as far as race, religion, gender, and other things, but I don't hear them talking about veterans. Veterans make up 1% of the entire population of the country. And there is certainly a tiny minority, and you know their services made the colleges made the whole country possible by giving them freedom, and they put their own education on hold to serve the country.
Bill, thanks a lot for the call, and Michael, you address that in particular in your book, the need for more veterans on campuses.
I do. I couldn't agree more with the caller. And at Wesleyan, we started a program some years ago now, where every year, 10 military veterans are coming to campus on full scholarship, and they have added immeasurably to the campus culture. They have different life experiences, different points of view, and they come from all over the country, and we have all the branches of the service represented, and we also connect those military veterans with veterans in the region around the campus, which improves the relationship of the campus with the city that we're in. So I think that the caller is exactly right. The colleges and universities should make an affirmative move to find veterans who want to be on their campus and support them so that they can get a great education, because they've already contributed so much to this country.
And in the book, you talk not just about students, but having people there as lecturers, maybe professors.
Yeah, we've started a program where military officers who are also teachers, as they step away from their military service, we've invited professors to come and teach international relations and political science, and they bring a very different perspective about leadership, about strategy, and about politics than many of our other professors. And what we found is that our faculty actually are eager to talk to these military leaders about issues. They don't always agree, as you can imagine, but I think it's been a great addition to the campus culture, and I think it could really work very well at many different colleges and universities.
Thanks for that call. We're talking to Michael Roth. His new book is Safe Enough Spaces, looking at issues on U.S. campuses these days. Back to your calls. Ed is with us, calling now from Edmonton, Alberta. Ed, hi.
Hi. Thanks for having me. I just wanted to throw a comment out here. I'm a graduate of the University of Wisconsin in Madison, and I could not disagree more with this notion that somehow conservative voices are being silenced on campus. I mean, I myself was a lot more conservative when I was going to school there. I had a lot of conservative friends. I attended several conservative talks that were brought in by their speaker series. And I just don't really feel like their voice is being squashed. I mean, the only time I ever saw people protesting was when somebody was saying something that was overtly on its face racist or discriminatory. And instead, I feel like this bill that's going through the legislature is kind of rooted in this, you know, conspiracy theory culture that so many other things, you know, one thing that comes to mind, voter ID and this notion of, you know, massive voter fraud. Where, you know, essentially if you're having trouble making an argument, if you're, you know, having trouble getting your ideas through, you know, there's some shadowy figure that's working behind the scenes that's silencing everybody's voice. And I'm sorry. I mean, the whole entire state, the whole entire country needs to get a grip. You know, this is about having conversations amongst people. And there is not some, you know, shadowy, you know, conspiracy that's working behind the scenes to silence the voices of conservative students. I'm sorry.
Ed, thanks for the call. Michael, what do you think?
Well, I think it's a great point. We've seen that college campus issues get weaponized by politicians trying to gain points or fire up the base. I've actually met with conservative and religious students on campus to check in with them, as I do with other groups. I remember talking with a guy who was very proud to be out there as a strong conservative voice, and so I said, "Do you feel you're discriminated against by your political science professor?" That's this is his major. And he turned to me and said, "Are you kidding? They are so interested in me because I'm different than the other students. They're intrigued by my positions." And he said he felt sorry for some of the others because he actually learns to argue his position all the time because he's constantly in debate with people. And for him, that was made his education even richer.
Thanks a lot for the call, Ed. Sean joins us now in Eau Claire. Sean, hi.
Hi.
What do you want to tell us about, Sean?
Yeah, no. So I guess my thoughts are a little bit, you know, I'm working a little bit here. You know, I'm working in part with UW Eau Claire Institution. And it's something where, you know, as much as we're up in the Northland here, up in Wisconsin, you know, there always seems to be the status quo that up in these northern parts, people will say, you know, we might not be paying attention as much to these issues as people seem to think. But I think as much as it's a hot button issue and people are getting fired up about it in different ways, I think up here, you know, I think we're covering it pretty well, you know, despite what I'm hearing from some of the other listeners. And I think we're doing a good job. And I think it's something where obviously, you know, there's more that we can always be doing, you know, otherwise the world would be perfect and there would be nothing to complain about and there wouldn't be any issues. But, you know, we're developing pretty good support systems. And, you know, and recently, you know, even in the UW system with all this restructuring with the 2 years, 4 years, you know, that's something where there's been a lot of change going on. And so there's been a big opportunity for growth and movement in the.
Sean, I'm going to jump in. Thanks a lot for calling in. And Sean mentioned something that reminds me of something you wrote. He talked about support for students. Michael, you talk in your book about, okay, yeah, admissions, that's one thing, bringing in students from different backgrounds and low-income backgrounds, great. What do we do to support everybody to make sure they have a good experience and hopefully graduate?
Yeah, it's a great point. And I know that a lot of people focus on who gets in, and they focus on access. But what's really key is that once you're in, keep debt low and or zero, and help people graduate on time. We've started a program where people can graduate in 3 years rather than four and save a bunch of money. But however you do it, I think we have to pay attention to those people who are part of the school to give them the support they need to finish on time and to get an education that doesn't saddle them with debt. And I know the public system in Wisconsin has been famous for doing these things very well for a long time, and we need to protect that resource, not just for Wisconsin, but as a model for other states as well.
Thanks for that call. And just our last few moments, Michael, your book is, I think, an effort to bring more light and a little less heat to our debates about what happens on campus. Do you think that's going to catch on? We're going to dial down the controversy and have more productive conversations?
Well, I wish that were the case. You know, I think that it's important for people to realize that there is a conversation to be had, that you don't have to take a side that excludes everybody else from who might disagree with you. Whether you're on the left or the right, you can find conversations that lead to better solutions for the problems at hand. And I do hope that in this highly polarized environment, there will be some voices that call for further conversation so that we can figure out a way not to just yell at each other and be outraged at each other or be condescending to one another, but that we can actually work together.
Michael, thanks a lot for joining us today.
Thank you. It's a pleasure.
That's Michael Roth, president of Wesleyan University. His new book is Safe Enough Spaces, A Pragmatist's Approach to Inclusion, Free Speech, and Political Correctness on College Campuses.